Morning, church.
How is everyone? Good, cold? No? Okay, so it's good to see you all. If we've never met, I'm Pastor Onami, and just want to welcome our online viewers as well. You know, what a privilege it was to have Pastor Murray Newman, wasn't it? Such a joyful man who understands sonship. A demonstration of someone who's dealt with his stuff. He called it the lions and the bears. He's dealt with his lions and bears. And he's now living free. You could see it. He's living free to be who God has called him to be. You know, he challenged us to ask two questions. The first question was, God, do you love me? And he said, you want to hear a resounding yes. And the second question he challenges to ask ourselves is, God, will you ever leave me? And we are to hear a resounding no. My prayer for us as a church is that what he deposited in our hearts would take root and produce lasting fruit. Amen? So we're in our last week of the generosity series. And as it says there, speaking on generosity for love's sake. My prayer is that by the end of the message, you're all giving each other high fives. Because one, you want to love one another. Number two, you want to live a generous life. And that your generous acts would have a ripple effect. Anybody up for the challenge? For a high five? Yeah? Okay, remind me because I'll probably forget. So Pastor Stephen started us on this series and he spoke about generosity that endures. He said it's one thing to be generous once, but we want to have generosity that endures. He spoke about the stewardship mandate, that we have a responsibility to manage what God has placed under us. And he also spoke about systematic giving, the importance of thinking out well and planning well for your giving. And lastly, he spoke about giving eagerly and freely with no compulsion, and that there's freedom in that. Then we had Andrew Baker, who spoke about a generous posture, and that reflects God's love and God's grace. He talked about if there's something that you wish you had more of, then that's the thing to be generous with, whether it's your time, your love, or your money. And then he said, biblical generosity motivates us to give. So if you haven't seen any of those messages, please go to our YouTube channel and watch those. They're very insightful. As I prepared for this message, I asked myself what generosity really means to anyone and why they should care. Why should we care? How do you stop people from switching off when you start talking about giving and being generous? What does it mean to someone who is grieving, a disgruntled person, a skeptic, a struggling parent? What does it mean to a confused man or woman, a depressed or disappointed Christian? What does it mean to a person who's facing debt collectors, a family who's struggling to make ends meet? What does it mean and why should it matter to a young person in school or a university student trying to decide their future? Because the truth is, despite the knowledge and encouragement we've been given to be generous, we still struggle. Not only to give, but to give consistently and generously. The struggle is real. Do we agree? The struggle is real. Question is why? There are a few reasons that I can think of. Number one, fear and self-preservation. I can't take care of myself or my family, let alone someone else or the church or any charity. Number two, indifference. It's none of my business. Why should I care? I can't be bothered. Number three, hurt. and or offense. Last time I gave, no one acknowledged it. No one even noticed. But today I want to focus on this one reason, what I believe is the most important explanation for why people struggle. I think it's because there's a lack of revelation that generosity is really and should be rooted in the love of God and in the understanding that there is a ripple effect that will come from our generosity. As much as the struggle is real, I think the love is also real. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world," we quote it all the time, don't we? "That he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." You cannot separate generosity from the gospel, the good news about Jesus. Because the most generous act ever committed was God sending his Son to die and later be resurrected for the sins of the world, for love's sake. That's what it was, for love's sake. Psalm 117, verse 1 and 2 says, "Praise the Lord, all you nations," that's you and I, "extol him, all you peoples, for great is his love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord." That scripture starts with praise and finishes with praise. Praise, meaning do the happy dance. Show admiration. Show warm approval to God. Why? Because great is his love towards us, not away from us. His love is massive, not small, not insignificant. Great, defined as of an extent, amount, or intensity considerably above average. If love is directed towards me, then it should impact me. It should interrupt my life. It should interrupt my mission, my focus. It should hit hard. It should cause me to adopt a generous posture. Do we agree? While you and I are on the road to self-destruction, self-pity, poverty, insecurity, comparison, suicide, violence, abuse, terrorism, on the road to shame and crippling fear, great is his love towards us. 1 John 4:18 says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear." Because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. You know, most people have never and will most likely never see God face to face. Is that true? He says no. But they will see you and I. They will hear you and I. They will observe us. The messenger sent from God. Do you know you are a messenger sent from God? Do you know it? Whether you see it or not, you are a messenger of God. Every day, every single day, you are in a position of confirming or disqualifying the love of God to someone. Every day, whether you mean to or not, we cannot separate generosity from the love God has for people. Ephesians 2 verse 10 says, "For we, you and I, are God's handiwork, other version says masterpiece. Created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So your generous words matter. Your generous time matters. Your generous money matters. I think I've shared this vision before, but it's important that I share again. Some years ago, I had this vision and I saw the picture of the world, the globe. And it was heavy in my hand and it felt overwhelming. And I heard the Lord say to me, I have not given you the burden of the world. The only burden you are to carry is the burden to love. And that's what I want to say to everyone this morning. The only burden, if you're carrying any, the only one you are to carry is the burden to love. But even in that, you don't have to do it in your own strength. You don't have to come up with love. You don't have to make yourself love people. If only you recognize the love of God and you allow the love of God to come in and you flow from that. All God wants you to do is to love Him. And then the love for the people will flow from that. Commonly known as the Great Commission, Matthew 28:16-20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Who knows, some of us will worship and some will doubt. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth, where we are, has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, not just some, but all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, meaning without a shadow of doubt, surely, I am with you always. God, will you ever leave me? No. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Generosity requires that we go with all that we have, all that we've been given. Andrew Baker spoke about lessons learned from the Macedonian church, that this church, they were poor and going through hardships, and yet they gave sacrificially. And they gave out of their own free will. They didn't let their circumstances affect their giving. In fact, they begged to give. They gave themselves first to the Lord. And that's what gave them the confidence to go, to give. The introduction of the gospel to Macedonia was quite interesting. In the book of Acts, chapter 16, verse 6 to 10, Luke takes us through a mission trip. He shares with us what happened. From verse 6, it says, Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once. There was a sense of urgency. we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding from the vision that Paul had, that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Some years back, I had a dream. And in this dream, I was in a ship with a lot of group of people. And it stopped, and we entered a place. And it was Macedonia. Now, I looked up Macedonia on Google, of course, because I don't know much about it. And I say I looked it up recently. I mean recently, not back then. And I found out that Macedonia is actually landlocked. So it doesn't make sense that there was a ship, because it's landlocked. But the Lord showed me about that. That was really, if you look at the scriptures, there's so many stories about boats, people in boats and landing, and it was always the disciples, the disciples. So I want you to think about this group of people that I was with, and think about that as you, the disciple. So a group of us entered Macedonia, and we saw these people who were so poor. And there were young teenagers who were prostituting themselves. And there were all these people that looked scrawny and impacted by heavy drug use. They didn't really care about their lives. And there were these older women having sexual encounters with each other. This is what I saw. Then there was this man who looked like a boss man. He came and he was so scary. And we had to make sure that our passports were valid. And they were being checked. And then I realized that mine had been left behind. That was scary, especially because of the boss man. Eventually we found it and we were able to go through that place. Now, the revelation that God gave me was that I went there to see. But in order to get there, I needed the right access. But also, I needed to know that there was somebody else who was in charge and had taken over the territory. I've never been to Macedonia. And I don't think this dream was necessarily about that one place. But God used it to paint a picture and lead me to search the scriptures. And I found this vision that I just shared about Paul. And I believe that God wants us to see the condition of our world, the world that he sent his son for. He wants us to see the condition that it's in. God wants us to understand that we need the right access. No one can come to the Father except through me. No one can come to the Father except through Jesus. God wants us to see that there is actually a boss man who is in control of territories. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, "The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." That vision Paul had was enough to trigger compassion and cause that team, Paul and Luke and the others, to respond to the need of the people, to remember that God loves the world, every section of it. There's a great work to do. There's a man called Ken Ham. He's a Christian apologist and fundamentalist. So he believes in what the Bible teaches as being literal. You know, not every Christian believes everything in the Bible is literal. You know that? No? Yes? He wrote a book called Gospel Reset. And in there he talked about there are false religions. And atheism has become the religion imposed on generations. We live in a generation where the Bible, prayer, and teaching of creation are being eliminated from the school system or have been eliminated. He said, we are in an evolution-based culture with no understanding of God and sin. The gospel is foolishness to those who don't believe. If we merely limit generosity to the local church and its needs, then we have done a great disservice to the message of Christ. That's really what I'm saying this morning. Pastor Murray spoke about the battles that we all have to fight. Do you remember that message? Do you? He said, you're going to have to fight first the battle for yourself, and then you're going to have to fight the battle for others, and then you're going to have to fight the battles for the future. What I want to add on to that is that part of fighting for the future is the fight for the will of God to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Fighting to show the love of God, which in turn will cause a ripple effect. A ripple effect. By definition, a ripple effect, it's a spreading effect or series of consequences caused by one single action or event. Everything that we do has an impact on something, whether we know it or not, whether we intend it or not. I have a friend in Port Hedland. Her name is Eunice. She's from Ghana. And she shared a very powerful story about her great-grandmother and how God moved her great-grandmother's heart. She said, back in Ghana, in the church, there was no money to pay the pastors and do some key projects. And her great-grandmother had happened to have a pot of gold, gold jewelry, ornaments that had been handed down to her. And she planned to pass those on to her own daughter as an inheritance. However, she sensed God asking her to sell all of these things so that the money could be used to pay for all those needs that were identified. Then she had a dream. And in this dream, she saw angels descending from heaven on a ladder. And the pot of gold was at the bottom of the ladder. And each angel who would come down would pick up a piece and go back up to heaven. And then when it got to the last piece, this great-grandmother is watching all of this. When it got to the last piece, the great-grandmother had a frown on her face. And she had a thought, oh no. They're taking that one too. If only they could leave that one so I could give it to my daughter. And Eunice says, apparently just as that thought came, guess what happened? The angels descended and they went and dropped all the gold that they picked up. And just like that, they all disappeared. Heaven was shut. Everything was gone in that moment. The great-grandmother woke up, shaken, and she took all that gold and the ornaments to her daughter's room. And she told her about the dream, and she explained that one day this is all going to be yours. What do you think about me giving it away? And the daughter said to her, you found God. You told me about God. I followed you. And she added, I don't think heaven needs this jewelry. So let's take it away and sell it and do what we need to do to help the church. They gave everything to the pastors. Now, I'm not saying give everything to the pastors. Have to add that. They gave everything to the pastors. All that gold was taken overseas, apparently, I guess, for an evaluation, and all the cash was brought back. And they covered the costs for what was needed. But I wanted to highlight the ripple effect. Apparently, there were blessings to the family. And then there were blessings for the church at large. And then there were blessings for the nation of Ghana. I don't know the details of that, but that's just a summary of what happened. The ripple effect of that one action by that great-grandmother. A generous attitude requires that we be in tune with what God is speaking to our hearts, his promptings, that we be obedient and watch the impact. I'll get you to all stand up. In summary, the last three messages on generosity were really to encourage you and I to consider and make the necessary shifts in our lives. Generosity must endure. Generosity has a posture. Generosity must be guided by the love of God and the ripple effect. So I just want to pray this morning as I finish. My key point this morning is this. Generosity is not about the money in your pocket. It's not about the dollars in your bank account. It's bigger than that. You could give all the money in the world, but without that understanding of what it's all about, it's almost meaningless. So I just want to pray for us as a church that this series we've just done would not just be another good message, but that it would actually cause transformation. So let us pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to hear your word. We thank you, Father, that you are a good God, that you are a faithful God, that you are a God who loves. We thank you, Father, for the most generous act ever committed in the history of the world, in the history of mankind. Sending your son, giving your son, being generous with your only son for love's sake. Father, I pray that as we walk this earth where we want your will to be done, we would walk with confidence, understanding that you have given all of us authority to trample on snakes and scorpions, to call those things that are not as though they are. Most importantly, love is best gift you have given us. And so I pray this morning that we would accept your love and that we would give your love. And Father, the hurts that we have, the fears that we have, the confusion, Lord, would not be a barrier to us loving. Teach us to love your way. Give us an understanding. May our hearts cry out for what yours cries out for. Macedonia is just one place that represents every other place that you love. There is a world out there that does not know you, Lord. There are people who are struggling There are people who are lost. There's a generation that's going in the wrong direction. I pray, Father, that we may have a love that reaches out to those people. For you've not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. And so, Lord, we boldly step out in faith, and we will love, and we will be generous, and we will cause a ripple effect in this generation that you have called us to. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I pray that that would be your truth. If you have any prayer needs, please come to the front and the team will come and pray if you need prayer for anything.